1, verse, starting at verse 1. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
So today is Palm Sunday. We've said that a couple of times. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is 1 week before Easter. It's an observance of the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was hailed by the crowds as the Son of David. See, Jesus had come to Jerusalem with his disciples for the Passover festival. Passover was one of three times a year that the people of Israel gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate God's care and provision for them. Passover marked the anniversary of the day that God killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians but spared the Israelites in order to cement their liberation from slavery. These festivals were joyous occasions, like a giant family reunion. The entire region celebrated. Now, I imagine that these festivals were like the celebration that takes place when a city's team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series. I heard there's like maybe a picture of some Super Bowl. Now, the slide guys told me that I shouldn't have put Kansas City celebrating the Super Bowl because we're in Patriots country, apparently. Now listen, they won this year, okay? That's the only reason I chose them. We don't need to like, you know, get torches and pitchforks and come after me after service. I just chose those pictures because they're good pictures that illustrate my point of the most recent Super Bowl celebrations, okay? So none of us are mad at Katie, right, for not putting Patriots pictures. Some of you still are. We will reconcile things after the service. We can talk more. But right after the Super Bowl, everybody's out in the streets celebrating. Everyone feels this giant sense of community because they share this common interest. They're celebrating a common thing. They're celebrating. And so even if they don't know each other, for the day, they're family. That's what Jesus and his disciples walked into as they walked towards Jerusalem for the Passover festival. The atmosphere was electric. People were ready to celebrate. And in comes Jesus riding on a donkey. Today, I want to look at this familiar story in a different way. See, Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem has been called the triumphal entry. There's royal imagery. This story is meant to be a clear demonstration that Jesus is, in fact, the king Israel had been waiting for. And in a crowd of people expecting something great, flying high in their celebration of what God has done for them in the past, eagerly anticipating the next move of God, early Christians saw this event as a clear declaration of Jesus' true identity. As we look at this narrative in Matthew's gospel, I want to look at this triumphal entry of King Jesus from the perspective of the three groups of people, the three characters in the story. Jesus, the crowd, and the disciples. I want to look at how Jesus, the crowds, and the disciples each experienced this royal procession. And I want us to leave today with some practical applications about what it looks like for us to participate in the coming of King Jesus into our world. So let's look first at Jesus in this narrative, what he says, what he does. What do we see about Jesus here, about his participation in God's plan for the world? The most important thing I think we can glean from this story about what Jesus does is that Jesus is the King who comes in peace. He's the King who comes in peace. We read in the first few verses that Jesus had a deliberate plan about how he would enter this celebratory setting during the Passover. And they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away." In the book of Matthew, just a few chapters earlier, Peter confessed for the first time that Jesus was the Messiah. And after he did that, Jesus told his disciples, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody who I am." But now he's telling the disciples, "Go get a donkey. I'm going to ride that into Jerusalem." This decision is a clear change of direction from the secrecy he asked of them a few chapters earlier. Katie, why does riding a donkey into the city change the secret of who Jesus is? Let me tell you. I have a couple ideas about that. So first, like everybody else in Jesus' day, Jesus and his disciples usually walked everywhere. They walked all over Israel, miles at a time, as Jesus carried out his ministry. For the past 3 years, that's what they'd done. But now here, 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem, Jesus decides to ride. This cannot be. My feet hurt. Okay? Almost everyone in the crowd going to Jerusalem for Passover would have been walking. Donkeys were usually used to carry burdens or for agricultural work. In a crowd of people on foot, a person riding a donkey would have stood out. Jesus knew that, and he chose to ride a donkey. In addition, there is a long history of kings riding donkeys into cities, particularly Jerusalem. David rode a donkey into Jerusalem. So did his son Solomon. And Zechariah 9, which Matthew quotes here, talks about the Davidic king of the future riding into the city on a donkey. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This decision to ride a donkey into Jerusalem at the time of year when people were remembering God's deliverance in the past and hoping for his deliverance in the future, it was intentional. Jesus rode a donkey into the city at Passover on purpose as a declaration that he was indeed the king Israel had been waiting for centuries. The time for concealing his identity was over. It was time to make clear that he is, in fact, the king. And in riding a donkey, he made a declaration about what kind of king he would be. In the Bible, horses are mentioned only in the context of war. Horses pull chariots. Kings ride horses into battle. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we see how Jesus will ride a horse at the end as he does the final battle with Satan and sends him to his demise. But donkeys were ridden in times of peace. Riding a donkey into Jerusalem demonstrated that Jesus was a king and that he was coming with peace. Jesus came to bring peace. Matthew here quotes Zechariah 9, verse 9. The next verse in Zechariah 9, verse 10 goes on to say this: "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." Jesus is the king who will destroy chariots and war horses that bring people into battle. He will break the battle bow, the weapons of war. He will proclaim peace for the nations from sea to sea to the ends of the earth. Jesus plans to do away with war, to do away with all its weapons. His plan is to bring peace everywhere, to every single corner of the earth. No more tanks, no more missiles, no more bombs. Peace in Ukraine and Afghanistan and Sudan. The weapons for war won't exist in God's kingdom. And no more school shootings. No more deadly weapons taking the lives of children and adults in a place that is supposed to be safe. No more piles of flowers or candles burning in memory of those who were lost. No more funerals. Jesus came to bring peace. This story tells us that Jesus came to be the king, and he is a king who comes to bring peace. Isn't that good news? So Jesus comes in this story as the peaceful king. Let's look at how the crowds experience this. The crowds in this story seem to just be swept up in the presence of the king. Everywhere Jesus goes, a crowd follows him, right? Throughout the book of Matthew, we've read that large crowds follow Jesus everywhere he went. But as Jesus and his disciples join this throng of people all heading toward Jerusalem for Passover, the large crowds that we read about in Matthew 20 become very large crowds in Matthew 21. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna," which means, remember, save us, to the King of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This action is taking place just outside the city of Jerusalem. As people are coming to the city, full of excitement over the expectation of God's presence, full of celebration over God's provision for the people of Israel, this crowd sees Jesus on a donkey, and they are overcome with this picture of the king arriving to Israel. This is like what happens when the Super Bowl team arrives in their home city on the victory bus, all wrapped in the team's colors. The crowds throng to the bus. They are throwing confetti. They're singing, "We are the champions." They're utterly caught up in the frenzied excitement of seeing the champions. This is exactly what happened to the crowd walking with Jesus to Jerusalem. They lay down their cloaks. They lay down branches on the road. The words that they call out come from Psalm 118 that Paul read earlier today. "Lord, save us." Again, Hosanna, that's where that word came from. "Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." What I love about the reaction from the crowd is that they don't actually like fully understand what Jesus is up to, but they are in the presence of the king and they are swept away. They can tell there's something special about him. They've heard that he heals people, that he raises the dead, that he invites in outcasts and sinners. They've heard that he speaks God's word with authority. They don't fully understand his mission, but they want whatever he's offering. They don't have their theology quite right. They call him a son of David, thinking maybe, oh, this could be like the king we've waited for, who we assume is going to do battle with Rome for us, throw off that yoke of oppression, help kind of reestablish us. There's later in this story, right, people come out from Jerusalem who don't know who he is and say, "Who is this person?" And the crowds say that Jesus is a prophet. Well, close, but not quite, right? He is a king. He's not the kind I think he is. And he does speak for God like a prophet, but only because he is God in the flesh. They don't fully understand who Jesus is, but they know they want to be in his presence. They know that the words he speaks bring life. They know that when he touches you, you're healed, and they want whatever he's offering. And isn't this how God still moves? We get a glimpse of Jesus. And sometimes people, before they really understand who Jesus is, they want more of him. I've seen that here at Harbor. Last weekend, right, we have this amazing time at brunch with bunnies. And as much as I loved getting to hold the little creatures, my favorite part of the morning was the stories I heard later. Stories about conversations you all had with people who came to visit our space that morning. I heard about children begging their parents to bring them back to church here because it's fun here. I heard about someone who said, "You guys at Harbor don't preach about loving people and welcoming people in. You just do it." I heard people say things like, there's something different about this place. And you all know what's different. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is at work. The love of God is flooding all of our hearts as we experience God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's peace. And we cannot help but demonstrate that to others. That is what is different about this place. It's not the building. It's God at work in all of you. And that love, that joy, that welcome that people felt, that draws people in. And that's true for some of you, isn't it? When you first started coming to church, whether here at Harbor or somewhere else, you kept coming because you felt like you were loved. You felt invited in. Something in your heart got warm when you were at church. And when you first started coming, you maybe didn't completely understand Jesus. You didn't know the Bible. You had no clue about theology. You just knew you were loved. And over time, you started to realize that whatever love the people of Harbor show you, it's a reflection of God's love for you. And you heard about how even though people mess up all the time, God loved people so much that he sent his son to die on a cross to wipe out all of our sin and all of our shame. And how now we are invited to accept that free gift and come back into a relationship with our Creator. We didn't know all of that at first. You just knew you felt invited in. And that's exactly what was happening with the crowds of people thronging to see Jesus in Jerusalem. They didn't totally understand. They just knew they felt loved. So on Palm Sunday, Jesus arrives as the King who comes in peace. And on Palm Sunday, the crowd was swept up in the presence of this King. There's one more character in the story I want to talk about. The disciples. Katie, they're not really a part of this. It looks that way, doesn't it? Jesus and the crowd are clearly the main characters of the story. All we read of this disciple, of the disciples in this story is that Jesus sent them on an errand and they went and did it. Exactly. Exactly. That's it. Jesus told them what to do. And for the disciples, verse 6 of chapter 21 is the most important sentence of this narrative. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They went and did what Jesus said. They went and got the donkey. They went and got its mother. They put their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to ride. And that was it. They were done. The disciples are like the bus driver in that picture of the Super Bowl champions. Remember the bus driver, what he looked like? No, of course you don't. We can't. I don't even know if we can see him. Maybe he's wearing red, it looks like. Until now, you probably didn't even think about the bus driver in that picture. When you look at this photo, you see the champions, you see the crowd, and that's the point. The bus driver's job is to make sure that there's a safe way for the champions to come and be celebrated. To provide safe transportation for the fans to celebrate and see the team. That's it. And the disciples' job in Matthew 21 was to make way for the King. To do whatever Jesus asked them to do so that he could meet with the crowd. The disciples aren't the star of the story, and they know it. What's important is that Jesus meets the crowd. What's important is that the crowd sees Jesus. What's important is that it's clear to the crowd that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. And the job of the disciples is to just do their part and get out of the way. Harbor, that is our job. That is our job today, to make way for the King. To do whatever Jesus asks to help other people meet Jesus. Disciples are people who do what Jesus asks them to do. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Listen, the disciples knew they were loved, okay? They knew that they were important to Jesus. That's not what's going on here. It's not they don't matter. It's just that, you know, they knew that their job, our job, right? In a world where people are starved for peace, our job as his followers is to just be his ambassadors to a world that's looking for something. Our job is just to do whatever we can to make way for people to meet Jesus. Last Saturday, you all did that. You did that by making coffee. by refilling food trays, by handing out scavenger hunts and goodie bags, by applying face paint and sparkly gems to children's faces, by playing games, by making crafts, by hanging signs, by standing outside. Those small acts of service made the way for people to get a glimpse of Jesus here. Those small acts made the way for people to sense the love we have here, the peace we have here, and to get curious about it. And that's our job, not just at events like brunch with bunnies or trunk or treat, but every single day. Our job is to do whatever small task Jesus gives us so that people get a glimpse of him. It's in the way you look in your neighbor's eyes when you ask them how they're doing and listen. It's in the way you wait patiently and say thank you for your coffee at Starbucks. It's the way you say good morning to your coworker. The way you graciously answer your employee's 15th email of the day. The way you hug your child and tell them that you love them. Every time we interact with another human being, we have the opportunity to make way for the King to come in. And those small tasks can lead to big things. All the disciples did was get a donkey and put a cloak on it. That's it. But that small act of obedience led to an entire city being stirred up with curiosity about Jesus. Harbor, we are not the star of the story. We are a part of a story that is so much bigger than us. We're a small part of the story of the King who comes to bring peace. And our destiny is another day where we will all again wave palm branches and sing to the King. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it tells us where all of our little small acts of obedience, our small opportunities to make way for the King, it tells us where all those are headed. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The result of the disciples' obedience was an entire town curious about Jesus. The result of the church's obedience over thousands of years will be a world caught up in worship at the throne of God. So today, where do you find yourself in the story? Are you like someone in the crowd? Are you curious about Jesus? Have you seen something here that you want more of? Well, welcome. Come on in. Pull up a chair. Get to know Jesus. Whatever love and joy and welcome you have experienced from those of us here at Harbor, it is a drop in the bucket of our God's love for you. A drop in the bucket. And we love to help you get to know him. A good way to start to get to know Jesus might be picking one of the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those tell the story of Jesus' life. So maybe pick one. Pick the Gospel of Luke and just read it. That will teach you something about Jesus. If you need a Bible, we have some back at that welcome table back there. And that's our gift to you. Take it home. It's yours. If you want to read the Bible with somebody else, you could write that on your Connect card that Danielle mentioned earlier and drop it in the offering boxes at the front and back. And we'll contact you to help you find someone else to study the Bible with you. Or come talk to me. I'm always over by that welcome table after the service. I would love to help you get connected to an individual or a group to learn more about Jesus with. Maybe you've been in the crowd for a while and you're ready to make the jump to become one of Jesus' followers. You're ready to say, "I want Jesus. He is absolutely what I have been looking for my whole life." And if that's you, I would love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you after the service. Me or any of Paul or Danielle or Jeremy, any of us would love to talk with you. Maybe your next step is baptism. Next Sunday, we're going to be baptizing people on Easter as an expression of their desire to follow Jesus. If you'd like to be baptized, if you're ready to make that step, come talk to me or write it on your card. Those Connect cards are great. Communicate anything on them. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus. If you claim the job description or the job title of disciple, today maybe you can consider what small acts of obedience God is asking of you this week. Small acts that will help someone else meet with Jesus. You guys are already doing this work really, really well. So keep it up. Keep looking for people who haven't met Jesus. Keep looking for opportunities to invite them in. Maybe keep Matthew 21:6 somewhere you can see it as a reminder that disciples are people who do what Jesus asks them to do. In these next few moments, you're going to have some time to just reflect on what Jesus is saying to you this morning. Are you sensing some kind of invitation from him or an encouragement or a challenge with what you've heard? Maybe write down on the back of your notes outline, what is it you're thinking about? What are you hearing? So that you can remember it throughout the week. Spend a few moments just listening to see what Jesus wants to say. And then when you're ready, come forward and take communion. Remember our King who brought peace by laying down his life for us. Communion here at Harbor is for anyone who wants King Jesus. Harbor, there is a world that is hungry for peace. And we worship the King who comes with peace. So let's keep seeking him together. Let's keep finding opportunities to make way for the King of Peace. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you come bringing peace. We long for that in our world. Watching the news brings anxiety, brings grief, brings anger. And we know that you came to bring peace to all of that, to right every wrong, to heal every brokenness. We're longing for you. We know that you are what we need. You are what the world needs. And so, Jesus, this morning, help us hear from you. If you're inviting us in to take a step to get to know you, for anyone who's in that position, God, will you help them to feel the invitation, to sense that you want to know them, you want them to know you. Help them hear that and feel that this morning. For those of us who've been following you a long time, will you